RotoGrinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Happy Friday, Grinders. Welcome back. It's the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm Josh Sir Giant with my co-host, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. We're back, guys. We're back from the All-Star break. Everyone survived. Everyone had some fun. I got to spend some time with the family. Got to do some music stuff. I had a good time. I enjoyed the days off. Always good to get a break, but you know, of course, always happy to get back into the swing of things, back to the grind here for baseball, for MLB. Travis, how you doing today, buddy? Did you enjoy the break?
Yeah. Felt like less of a break for me with all the WNBA stuff going on and whatnot. But no, it was still a nice break, just not having to grind DFS out, right? Just being able to step back. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and relax. So it was nice. Nice just being able to do that a little bit. How about you?
Yeah, same here. You know, I didn't really play much in WNBA. I saw that DraftKings launched the product. I heard a lot of good feedback about that. And, you know, of course, heard a lot of good feedback about the content you were putting out. So, you know, if you haven't, you know, if you guys haven't tried WNBA, definitely check out Travis's content here at RotoGrinders. He's a staff writer for WNBA. Does a really good job. Digs deep. Travis, anything fun or crazy happened in WNBA over this past week?
No, nothing crazy. Didn't work out the best for me, just playing wise. But someone who read my article won 4K, so good for him. And he's Matty Ice, so good for him. I just like how we see, you know, DraftKings has kind of got their feet wet in it, and we can now. They're offering some pretty good prize pools. Like today, it's like I think FanDuel's got a $7 for 10K to first, and DraftKings got an $8 for 15K to first. So I just like seeing those prize pools. It makes more people want to enter and join. So everyone's about chasing that big first place prize. So figured that's great to see for the industry. But you know, back to baseball now. I don't think as many people care about that. They don't want to just dive into baseball. It's been a couple days. Everyone's they're itching. They're ready to play baseball. So how do we get started with that? Because I think everyone missed that big time.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. You know, it's just it's definitely interesting that we're already at mid July, man. We got football right around the corner and basketball. So lots of fun here. But give us both a follow on Twitter before we hop into the analysis here. You can follow me at Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone, Mangone. Shoot over any questions or comments. You guys have been interacting with us a ton, and we really enjoy that. Had some good conversations with some of the listeners over the break, talking strategy, game theory, stuff like that. Lots of fun. And also, if you haven't signed up already, definitely go check out our sponsor site, Fantasy Draft. Sign up using the promo code Grinders to get 4% cash back on all your entries, up to $5,000 over there. Really, really great deal. It's the best bonus that they offer over there at Fantasy Draft. Really cool format. You don't have to play catchers, so definitely enjoyable. And on top of that, you also get a few months of incentive access here at RotoGrinders, so you'll get some premium content to look at from our top analysts and help you build better lineups, give you a nice edge on the field over there. So definitely do that. FantasyDraft.com using the promo code Grinders. And with that, as Travis said, guys are probably itching. Get back into this baseball stuff. Got a huge, huge slate here on Friday. 14 games, you know, coming back to a nice, big, healthy, beefy, chunky slate. 15 games, I'm sorry, not 14. We got 15 games. Big, big slate. So now, Travis, on a slate like this, for me, usually just, you know, constructing your rosters can be, you know, a little overwhelming, a little tough when you look at all these games, look at all these options, you know, and you kind of like have to figure out where you're going to go because, you know, we can't play everyone. So what I normally do here is I start by using like a process of elimination, start, you know, trying to narrow down my options, try to put together a core. So I think that for the show, we should do that with the pitchers here on this slate, kind of eliminate guys that we're definitely not going to be using and then focus on the guys that we'd be interested in. Sound good to you? All right, so what we'll do now is we will start by eliminating some of these pitchers. Obviously, for me, Tim Adelman is going to be the first one off the list. You agree with that?
Yeah, definitely don't want Tim Adelman. It's not a good spot for him today. I'll definitely take him off the list.
All right. Martin Perez, for me, not a guy I'm ever interested in really to begin with, and definitely not interested in today. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, no Martin Perez for me.
All right. Jason Hamill?
No, I'm not playing Hamill on this slate. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be playing him either, especially not against these Texas bats who, you know, came into the break really, really hot. So how about Ricky Nolasco? Any interest there against Tampa Bay?
So I don't hate it if you're playing someone down here. And like he stopped, I forget which pitch it was. I know before the break, he stopped throwing one of his pitches that he's been getting kind of shelled on. And then I don't know, he had that bad last start. I don't know if he went back to that pitch or not, probably something I could check, but that was kind of why he had those like last two good outings. And like, it's the Rays who strike out a ton too. And they're getting they're going to a ballpark like LA, which is a good pitcher's park. I don't think it's a terrible turn option, but I'm not in love with it. I'd rather try and find other guys, but I understand the argument if you want to argue for it. So small amount of interest, but not a ton. And mainly because it's the Rays, that's just something that's very important. They just strike out the most on any team in the league. So, but again, they can also kill a team and absolutely dominate and just smack them around. So that is a concern.
Yeah. And, you know, on top of that, there's like 15 games. They have 30 pitching options to pick from. So, you know, definitely don't want to be reaching too far down the barrel if you don't have to. How about James Shields here against Seattle?
Pass.
Yeah. Okay.
This pass. Oh. Yep.
All right. Any Mike Leake interest?
No, he's a better real-life pitcher than fantasy. I'll pass on him, too.
That's facts. Perfect way to say it. Definitely a better real-life pitcher. Any Taiwan Walker interest here in SunTrust?
Like Freddie Freeman's back. That just seems like a mistake right now to go that route. So, and especially in SunTrust, that's a good hard pass for me on Taiwan Walker.
I mean, I feel like I don't even have to ask because, you know, you never play this guy, but R.A. Dickey. It sounds like you're gonna.
I don't know anyone. Don't play R.A. Dickey ever. If the knuckleball ends up being on, just accept that whoever played him, that like 0.5% ends up winning because whatever, they can win every once in a while.
Yeah. How about Charlie Morton? Any interest here in Charlie Morton in Houston?
I don't mind Charlie Morton. I don't think this is a spot we should, just ignore. I get it, right? The Twins can have a scary offense at times, but Vegas has an implied run total at 3.93, which is definitely nice to see on this slate. There's no like run totals that are super low that make you like kind of jump off the page. And the Twins are a team that can strike out a ton. Charlie Morton is a guy too. Before he went on the DL, I mean, he was pitching really well. So this is a guy that I definitely want to. I'm going to look in the second half to kind of. Just take notice on and make sure to try and roster in good spots. I mean, this isn't the greatest spot, but just listen to his K percentage this year. I mean, against righties, 21% and lefties, 29.2%, getting pretty good ground ball rates as well. This is a guy that I'm a big fan of. I don't know if I'm definitely going to, I don't know how much exposure I'll have to him. I think I'll have a little bit. I don't know how much, but I think I'm going to have some exposure to him.
I mean, you got so many righties that can hit in this lineup. That's the problem in Minnesota, you know? So the Twins righties are guys you definitely have to be afraid of.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm a little worried about him, but I think he's a good tournament option, especially at that at the price tag where you can get him. I would definitely do that. Honestly, I don't think it's a bad route to go. I don't know about you, Josh. You're not a big fan of it.
No, I feel like there's better spots to go. Like I said, I'm such a big slate with so many options. If I feel like I'm reaching, then I feel like, you know, if you feel like you're reaching at all, if you feel like you're out of your comfort zone here, I feel like you could just go somewhere else just because, you know, it's not like we have six games here and we're like limited, you know? So
I just don't think there's a lot of good cheap pitching anyways. And if you want to fit in a really like, I don't know, if you want to fit in a really expensive stack, you are going to be stuck taking one of these cheap pitchers. So I don't think it's a terrible idea, but I don't know. I don't think it's a bad route to go. And he's a guy that I'm probably going to be looking at in the second half of the year, as the year goes on. And I don't mind it. I think it's a decent play.
I'd rather go to guys like McCarthy or Clayton Richard if I'm going to go into that tier.
All right. Well, I have no interest in Clayton Richard. So we see next up on the talk about Clayton Richard for me, because I don't like him at all here in this spot.
Well, you know, the thing is with Clayton Richard is that obviously he's like not a name that you would normally want to target here, but he does have a very good matchup here against San Francisco. These bats have not been anything to really fear. you know, particularly on, you know, in this season, you know, their numbers have been very low.
And Kleber, they don't strike out though. I'm sorry.
They don't strike out. Okay.
Like,
yeah. I understand. His strikeout upside is limited. I will give you that. That was my next point with that. You know, he's not the biggest strikeout pitcher. Like his, you know, K percentage, 14% to righties and 20% to lefties, both well below the league average. But Travis, this is where my interest comes in. His ground ball stuff is just super elite, man. 55% to righties and 75% to lefties. Like 75% ground balls to lefties. You know what I mean? And not that the, you know, San Francisco has any really lefties we should be afraid of here to begin with. But, like, it's still, like, I don't think that he'll come out and set the world on fire and strike out a ton of hitters. But what I do think could happen is he could have a very efficient outing, you know, especially with this park upgrade here, you know, at Petco. Like, I think that he could definitely come out and have a very solid outing and pay off his price tag on DraftKings at $6,700. I don't think that's...
Yeah, and I think, like... I guess if you're going for efficiency, I can understand it. Again, like Giants are only at a 15.1K percentage, so that's really frustrating. Just doesn't feel like there's enough upside for me to win a tournament. But again, if it helps you fit in the bats, I guess I can understand it if he gets through and has just like a really efficient outing and doesn't let runners on, like anyone on base, that can be helpful sometimes. I play a lot more FanDuel normally, so like normally like that is something I don't look for because like if base runners get on, it doesn't really matter. That doesn't help or hurt you. I mean, it helps or hurts the pitch count, obviously, but it doesn't help or hurt you point-wise, but it does on other sites. So I guess if he does have an efficient pitching game, I can understand it. But again, like I'd rather play Clay. Like, I love the ground ball rate. That's great. His K percentage, you know, I think it could improve. I'm not in love with it, but it's just the Giants at a 15.1 K percentage. I'm not absolutely in love with that. So I do worry about the upside for him, but I get what you're saying. If he could go an efficient outing, there's a possibility to playing him, but I'm not in love with it still. It's going to take all day for me to get on that play. I think it's going to take some work.
Yeah. And 45% ground balls from these Giants bats too. And just 30% fly balls. And, you know, those fly balls are not really a concern with the park upgrade in Petco is my point, you know. So I think he's a very safe play. And I think that on DraftKings, if you need, or Fantasy Draft, if you need a cheap SP2, I think that he's a good route to go. I think Clayton Richards definitely should be in the conversation. Not saying I'm in love with the play, but I think he's very safe to not get shelled here. How about McCarthy? Any interest in McCarthy here in Miami?
I'm not in love with McCarthy here. I just hate his the problem with McCarthy is like the pitch count. We never know how long he's going to go. I'm not a huge fan of him against a team like Miami. They're like a good hitting team. I don't know. I can't do McCarthy today. I don't think maybe if it's like a really good umpire again, I could see the point in doing it, but I just don't think it's the right play for me. I'd rather play Charlie Morton if I'm being honest.
Yeah, 7,400 on FanDuel, that's a pass for me and McCarthy, but 6,900 on DraftKings puts him in the conversation for, you know, as an SP2 option. So I think that, you know, he's definitely worth looking at, but I you know, with 30 pitchers on the slate, I think that you could do better. I would rather go with a guy like Clayton Richard. I just feel like there's more of a safety net there. How about Kevin Gausman here? Because I know that you were talking about, before the break, you were talking about how he has some good stuff and that, you know, Minnesota was not the game to target him, which we ended up being right about. We agreed on that. But if you looked at those games before that, man, against Cleveland, against Toronto, against Tampa Bay, he really put out good, solid performances here. So, you know, Minnesota wasn't the spot. You know, are the Cubs going to be the spot here at home?
Man, I'm a little worried about this. I don't know, because I think Gausman has upside, right? I totally think that he has upside. He's a guy, like, a lot of these pitchers are guys, it's like, I'm having trouble being like, yeah, I can get behind them and they're really good plays. They're just more of like tournament darts that I'm going to play a little bit of, and I understand that there's risk and that's it. The Cubs, man, like they're going to I think they're going to have a way better second half than they did first half. Right. So I expect some like positive regression coming for them. So this is a team that is going to be in a good ballpark in Baltimore. You have to keep that in mind. The weather, I'll pull up the weather now and let me see, because it's raining out here on the East Coast. It looks like Kevin Roth has it at yellow right now. So, you know, that could also put Kevin Gausman out of play if the weather is bad. But it's going to be like 87 degrees. I mean, that's pretty hot. Dew point's going to be high. Humidity is going to be high. I don't know. I'm not absolutely in love with Gausman in this spot. He's going to be tough for me to back here. I might throw him in as like a dart or two just because of the upside he can have, especially if he has like a good pitcher's umpire. That's going to be something I think I look for a lot today, is seeing if there's any good pitcher's umpires around here with some of these cheap guys that maybe give them an extra bump over the rest. But I don't know. What about you for Gausman? What do you think about him?
Pass on the slate for me. I mean, 30 pitching options, Gausman, with the downgrade of being in that hitter's park going against a team, a team that can hit, that can hit well, because we've seen the Cubs when they get hot, they can hit really well. And I think that, it depends on the lineup they roll out, because we do see some ugly lineups from the Cubs. So if the lineup is something that's super weak, maybe I'll have like a little bit of interest in him, but it's tough because I feel like I'd be really reaching, like I said, to get him into my lineups. The thing is, like, his jump in his K percentage, man, has been insane. Like, over the last month, I'll tell you his season, like last season numbers, right? His strikeout percentage is 21.5% to righties, 21.1% to lefties, right? And then the last month, it's jumped up to 34.3% to righties and 25% to lefties. So, like, he had like a major jump in the last month in his strikeout rate. So I don't know what he's doing different, and I tried to find, reasons to justify it, and I couldn't really find any. It could be that, the matchups that he had, they just kind of like, the bats just didn't work. I mean, I didn't look at the lineups that he went against either. The lineups were weaker, but, it was against Toronto, who we know strikes out a lot. Cleveland strikes out a ton, and no one ever like really looks at that, but they do strike out a ton. Tampa Bay obviously strikes out a ton. So, I mean, Those are teams that strike out that he went against. So, Chicago doesn't have as much of a, they strike out 24.7% to righties. So, yeah, they do strike out too, I guess. But just, I don't know. It's just like a weird matchup for me. I'm just not a huge Gausman fan to begin with. And I just don't believe that these strikeouts are real. Like, this jump and strike. I think we're going to see some regression. And I just don't want to be the guy that has him on my roster chasing those few games he had. Hoping that he stays hot here, especially when we have 30 pitching options on the slate, as I said. So that's pretty much where I stand. I think I'm just going to have to pass and just wait and see. If he throws a great game against the Cubs and like strikes out a ton of batters again, then yeah, I mean, I guess we could be interested, stay interested. But by then, his price will probably jump up. So it's one of those weird spots to be in when you're looking at a guy and being like, okay, like, is this a spot he's going to regress, or is this a spot where he's going to keep this streak going that he has, So. I don't know, where do you stand, like, for real, Travis, here? Like, are you gonna, do you have like okay, you're building 10 lineups, do you have a Gausman lineup in there?
If there's no weather, I think I'll have one, but that's it. I'll probably on a two pitcher site too, not on a one pitcher. I think on a one pitcher I might end up passing, but I don't know for sure. Let me look at his. There's another guy in the slate. I want to see his price tag.
And I could say for sure this is the most I've ever talked about Kevin Gausman in my like 6 years of DFS here. So
yeah, just want to mention because Jordan Montgomery, he's pitching instead of Michael Pineda. I don't know if you saw that news drop right before we started recording, but Jordan Montgomery, he's only 6.5K. I don't love the matchup against Boston, right? I really don't. But I just figured I'd mention that he's in this like kind of price tier too. What are you going to do with him at 6.5K? And like I said, I think I'll play Kevin Gausman more so on two pitcher sites. And it's mainly like on a site like Fantasy Draft, right? Like it's mainly because it's going to help me get in the big bats, right? We talk about some of these like pitchers on this slate. I thought there was going to be like a ton of aces like to start out the All-Star break, and that's not the case. So some of these pitchers I'm just not a huge fan of towards the top, and they come with some risk and come with not as much upside as you would expect. And that's why I don't think going to these cheaper pitchers is a terrible idea if it gets you the bats. That's mainly the reason to play these cheaper pitchers.
Okay. That makes sense. So like basically the way that I say we'd handle Gausman is like, I'm probably not that interested, but like I think you can make a case to play him in a tournament lineup where if you could really get some big bats that you really want to get in there, I think you can make him your second option on a site like DraftKings. But yeah, but I mean, other than that, like not super interested. How about Dan Straley here against the Dodgers? Any interest there?
Nope, just pass. I mean, 5-0 pitcher against a good Dodgers team. That's a pass.
Any interest in Aaron Sanchez here in Detroit against the Tigers?
No, not really against the Tigers. How about you?
Nah, I'm going to pass on that too. I don't think we need to go too deep into that. Now, here's an interesting one. We got Jose Berrios. Now, on FanDuel, he's definitely a pass for me because you're not, you know, he's expensive. He's 9.2. He's the third most expensive pitcher there. But we're getting him at that Houston discount, you know, because he's going against the Astros. We get him at a huge discount on DraftKings at 7,300, which is just like seems too cheap for a guy that has huge, massive strikeout upside. You know, he's thrown one game against Houston this season. He went five innings, gave up four runs, struck out five. So the strikeouts, you know, he was averaging a strikeout per inning against them in the last matchup. So, you know, we know that he has the strikeout upside. Now, Houston, not that high of a strikeout rate. I believe it's somewhere around 17%. Let me check. Against righties, 17.2% against righties. So they do strike out, just not a ton, and they do have a massive WOBA 369, massive ISO 215, so they get hit. Like, no one's ever going to question that. But Berrios could also strike out a lot of hitters, and 27.2% strikeout rate to righties this season, 48% ground ball rate. You know, like I said, you know, definitely a hard pass on FanDuel since he's the third most expensive pitcher there. But on DraftKings at 7,300, it seems like they really ran with that, you know, that, you know, discount guys in tough matchups kind of situation. And I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have some tournament interest here in Berrios as my SP2. How about you, Travis?
Have fun, man, because the Astros are good. There's no way. I'm just not touching it. I haven't played the Astros enough this year. Definitely been a victim of that. And I'm not saying I'm going to stack them here, but man, like the Astros, they did me well the last, you know, on Sunday. They scored 18 runs, dude. 18 runs. I just think it's a mistake to go to pick these Astros against like anyone at this point right now. They are like the best team, like hitting team in baseball right now. I'm just not going to take most pitchers against them. And Berrios, I don't care about the price decrease. I think there's better guys you can take in this price tier that may be a little higher too, that just have higher upside that I'd rather take instead. So for only a little bit more, I would rather pay up a little bit to instead of going Berrios. I get the price decrease on a site like DraftKings specifically. I understand that on Fantasy Draft, he's even cheap too. He's only 14.4K, but I just think there's other guys that I'd rather just pay a little bit up more for that I feel more confident in.
All right. Well, I mean, like I said, it's just more of a site-specific play. If you need to roster two pitchers and you get them at a huge discount. I'll put it this way. If I'm building 10 lineups, I'll probably have, like, one that has Berrios in there as my SP2 just because of that, you know, trying to get value out of that price tag. I think there's some profit potential there, even though the matchup is difficult. We'll move up to Pomerantz, a guy that I'm normally interested in. You know, I love him in real life, and he's pretty cheap on DraftKings and FanDraft. But over on FanDuel, they don't like to price him down. He's 8,600. So definitely, you know, on the slate, it's definitely going to be a pass for me. I just know these Yankee bats get hit. You know, they get hit lefties really well. And, you know, I'm just not, I don't feel comfortable rolling Pomerantz out there against, like, Gary the Goat and, like, Judge. And, you know, these guys get hit. So I think I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass on Pomerantz. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, I'll pass on Pomerantz here. Not a big fan of him. I want to go over to Zach Davies, though. I think he's an interesting option against the Phillies offense. I get it's like a good hitter's park in Milwaukee. And, you know, maybe some of these Philly lefties will be able to, you know, hit some power out on him. I could get that. But, you know, there's just a lot of strikeout upside with the Phillies. So I think Zach Davies is a really interesting tournament option for cheap. I don't know about you, Josh, but I'm a big fan of it. I mean, just think about this. Like, I know Davies, the strikeout upside isn't really there. Like, it's 14.2% and 14.8% against righties and lefties. I understand that. But the Phillies strike out a ton, 22.7%. Like, that's just really high. And I know Zach Davies, he can have himself a game sometimes. So I think this is a spot where he could. And I think he's a decent tournament option to look at.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go with, like, Clayton Richard. If I'm going to go with the guy who's going to pitch for efficiency and you know, I know that he has more strikeout upside Davies here against Philly than Clayton Richard would have against San Francisco. But, I mean, the guy threw seven innings, by the way, just like side note. He threw seven shutout innings in SunTrust against Atlanta and didn't strike out any hitters. He had no strikeouts in that game. Like, it's absolutely insane. I mean, he got ground balls from almost half the hitters that he faced, you know, so that was probably pretty good for him. But like, seven innings and no strikeouts, man, like, that's just, like, the story of Zach Davies. He just doesn't have that strikeout. And if you look down his log too, he has lots of games with one strikeout, you know, two strikeouts, three strikeouts. Like, he doesn't have that strikeout upside. I mean, granted, maybe he'll get a little boost against Philly who strikes out. But you know, he also has that you know, that park downgrade in Milwaukee. He's in a, hitter's park, and Philly does have a lot of pop in their bats. Even though they strike out a ton, they still hit the ball for power really well. So if he gives up, you know, if he does, if he's not striking hitters out and he's pitching for contact, he could get himself into trouble pretty quickly, I think. So I'll pass on Davies here, even though I think there's merit to the play. I'd rather, like I said, I'd rather go with a guy like Clayton Richard if we're looking for efficiency here.
Yeah, I can see the argument that just because you get a price savings too helps you get in some more bats. So I can understand that as well.
Yeah. All right. So let's move to Mike Montgomery. Any interest here against Baltimore?
Nah. I know, like, Baltimore can struggle to hit lefties sometimes, but I don't know. Mike Montgomery's a pass for me. I'm not going to bother with him in that spot. And like, there's probably going to be bad rain in that game, and the East Coast is going to get hit with rain, so I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, I'll pass there too. Now, here's an interesting option. Here's a guy that, you know, I don't know if you know this, but he actually chases ghosts in real life. Just a little side note. He's like a Ghostbuster or something. I don't know. It's really funny. You should definitely look into it and have a little laugh if you look at some of the articles about it. But we've got John Gray coming back, man. And, you know, John Gray is a guy with strikeout upside, kind of plagued with the fact that he's on the Rockies and has to pitch at Coors, you know, at home a lot. So, but, you know, the strikeout upside certainly there. If you look at last season, strikeout rate 26.4% to righties, 24.7% to lefties. This season, you know, wasted no time coming in, 36% strikeout to righties here. So definitely a guy that has strikeout upside. The only problem is this matchup here against the Mets. You know, now the Mets are a team that earlier in the season you just didn't take righties against them, right? Because they were absolutely mashing righties. But now we've seen a drop, like a significant drop, too. If you look at these season numbers now, their ISO against righties just 164, and their WOBA just 303, and their strikeout rate's still low at 14.2%. They don't strike out a ton, but they also don't walk at 3.9% walk rate. You know, very aggressive hitters on this team. And just looking at the lineup, you can see why. You got like Conforto, Cabrera, Cespedes, Bruce, you know, Duda. These are all guys that, you know, they go up there swinging. So, you know, if they're going up there swinging and John Gray, you know, gets, you know, misses bats and he's throwing well, I think that he could have a nice upside performance here and kind of get back to his strikeout ways. And the fact that it's in Citi Field certainly helps because, you know, he gets to be away from Coors. And, you know, last year his splits were enormous, you know, away from, you know, home and away splits were enormous because pitching in Coors obviously is not good for pitchers. So I don't know. Is there any interest here in John Gray for you, Travis?
So the weather looks really bad there. So that's something I'm definitely concerned about. If I'm not worrying about weather at all, say it's going to be a nice game anyways, I'm not in love with it against the Mets here. I think there is some upside for that price tag. So I think he's a guy you can consider in tournaments, but I'm not totally in love with it. I kind of think I'd rather play, go to Jake Faria. I think Jake Faria, I know the Angels don't strike out a ton. I get that. But Jake Faria's got some like pretty talented stuff. I'm kind of interested in him a little bit. I think he's a guy to consider. And even Sonny Gray, I'd rather go to the other Gray, I think. I get Cleveland's a scary offense, but I think Sonny Gray's just been so efficient this year. Really, really good. And I think so. I'd rather play Sonny Gray instead over John Gray. I get it, though. Like, all these pitchers, man, there's always something to be a little bit concerned about, which has me really annoyed about this slate. Like, there's no, like, smash pitcher, I feel like, on this slate. But Sonny Gray is a guy I like as a good tournament option. I think I'd rather play him in this price tier if I had to pick between, like, around this price tag.
Yeah, let's talk about Faria for a second, man. This kid's the truth. I'm a huge fan. I'm a big Jake Faria truther, man. Like, this kid has incredible stuff. And like you said, the matchup against the Angels, they're, you know, they don't strike out a ton. But I think that, like, they also don't, you know, just really smash the ball either offensively. So I think that Faria could have a great performance here. 8,500 on FanDuel, I don't think is a terrible option in tournaments. You know, if you're looking for a differential play that has upside, I think that Faria is a guy. He doesn't even have a picture yet on FanDuel, man. Like, they gotta get this kid a picture. He's really got some good stuff, and I love watching him, you know, like real life pitcher wise, but also DFS purposes, has that strikeout upside. So, certainly interest in Jake Faria and Sonny Gray, as you mentioned. You know that I'm also a huge Sonny Gray guy too. Love watching him pitch, in real life too. The kid just like switches up, you know, he switches up his speeds well, hits his spots well. Sometimes, you know, he goes out there, he pitches. Here's the thing. It's like everyone talks about, oh, well, he's not a big strikeout pitcher, which is true, and he hasn't been throughout his career. He does pitch for contact and for efficiency. He gets a ton of, you know, ton of ground balls. But he's been hitting his spots differently this season, and he's been like throwing certain I've seen him throw like breaking balls behind in the count, trying to get swing strikes and stuff. Like he's looking to be more of a dominant pitcher this season, and it definitely shows in the numbers. Like 24.7% strikeout rate to righties now drops down to 21% against lefties, but those ground balls are still solid at 54% against righties, 57% versus lefties. And, you know, going against a Cleveland team that no one gives a lot of credit for how much they strike out against righties, you don't really hear a lot of people talk about it. You know, he has the strikeout upside, I think, and I think he'll throw an efficient game, but I definitely have some interest in him here, for sure. I'll definitely have interest in Sonny Gray. Not my top option, but, you know, probably in my top five on this slate. How about any interest here in Nick Pivetta? He was the guy we were picking on, and then, you know, slowly but surely started having some good outings. And now it's kind of like, you know, if you look at his game log, you see a mixture of just garbage games and then, like, pretty solid games. So where do you stand on Pivetta here?
Yeah, I don't understand how he's doing it, what he's doing. I know his K percentage against both sides of the plate is around 24%. I don't know, man. I get it. It's Milwaukee. They can strike out. I'd miss the boat on Pivetta. Anyone who's been playing him, I'm not going to jump in now. Sorry. For 8,400, I'd rather just like on DraftKings for 8,400, I'd rather just play Sonny Gray. Like just plain and simple. I'm not going to be playing Pivetta. And that Brewers offense can be scary. So I'm going to stay away from that. Those lefties could really probably get a hold of him. You know, the Eric Thames, the Travis Shaws. Like there's guys in the lineup that can really beat him up. So I'm just going to stay away from it.
Okay. Now we have the reemergence here of Justin Verlander. You know, he came back and threw a couple of really good games, and then, you know, got shelled against against Cleveland, and then came back again against Cleveland and threw well a week later. So I don't know. Like, where do you stand on Justin Verlander? For me, like, he's a guy that, you know, is clearly past his prime, and we've seen those fly balls go up over the years, and you know, Toronto is a team that can really hurt you if you're letting them, you know, put the ball in the air. So I think at these price tags all across the industry, I'm going to fade Verlander. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, same with me.
Yeah. Okay. How about a guy that I know that you already have some biases against? You strongly dislike him. It's like a roller coaster every time you roster this guy, but he definitely has some upside. How about Gerrit Cole here?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of him. I've actually picked my spots pretty decently with him. Like, I have rostered him sometimes. So here's the thing with Gerrit Cole, right? He's not the best, but against like a team that's, you know, a lot of righties in St. Louis, I could understand maybe playing him, like with the ISO. You know, they only have an ISO, the Cardinals, of 0.153 against like, you know, guy like Gerrit Cole, the righties. Like, this is a good spot, I think. Not a good spot for him. It's not a bad spot for him. I wish he was cheaper. I could understand having some upside there with him, and it's in a good ballpark for pitching. I think that you can make arguments to play him. You can make arguments not to play him. Ultimately, I don't think he'll make the cut for me. I think that's how it's going to kind of work out with him. I just think I'd rather go to other options instead. I can just play Johnny Cueto for $400 more. So why am I just not doing that, right? Against a San Diego team that still, I mean, I get they've been a little better recently, but in a good ballpark like San Diego for pitching, I just rather would go up to Cueto, I think, if I had to pick. But I think you could argue either way with Gerrit Cole. And my thought process is just there's better options. I can go below to Sonny Gray. I can go up to Johnny Cueto. I'd rather just do that if I had to pick.
That's an interesting interesting spot here for Cueto, a guy who's just been kind of like up and down this season, not really like the Cueto that we're used to seeing. But this matchup, man, like, the, you know, San Diego striking out 27% against righties here. Now, Cueto's strikeout rate below the league average, both, you know, 20% even, both to righties and lefties this season. You know, his ground balls have been down against lefties. You know, his fly balls haven't been that high, so it's not really that much of a concern. But his walk rate to righties, that's what's really been hurting him this season. He's walking a lot of hitters. 10% walk rate against righties. So what can neutralize that is that the San Diego team doesn't walk a ton. You know, 4.6% walk rate to righties. And, you know, we obviously have that park upgrade in Petco, so that's definitely a good spot for Cueto in that regard. But He's just not like, you know, if this was Johnny Cueto two seasons ago at the 8,900 on DraftKings, like, you lock him in, right? And even 9K on FanDuel. But for, you know, for the Johnny Cueto we've been seeing, like, you know, he has negative point downside now. Like, you know, that's something to keep in mind. Like, he could go out there and he could get shelled, or he could walk a ton of hitters and get in trouble. I don't want to pay top dollar for a guy who's going to get me single digits, you know? So that's like, it's kind of, it's a weird spot to be in. I know that the matchup is great and the park boost is great, but it's that price tag that's kind of keeping me away. Do you have a ton of interest in Cueto, or are you just saying that you'd rather go Cueto over Cole?
I mean, I don't hate him at that tag, right? Like, I mean, we're talking about this price tier, right? Like, I mean, he's just like the better option, right? Like, would you rather pay like that extra $600 and go Gio Gonzalez against Cincinnati? I don't think I would. I just think it's not a bad spot for Johnny Cueto for 8,900. I think it's a spot that you can take advantage of him, and I don't mind him on this slate. I'm not in love with him, right? But I don't mind him. He's a guy that I will have some interest in. I'll probably play on some tournament teams. I get Cueto hasn't been as good this year, but like, the Padres can strike out so much against right-handed pitching. And Johnny Cueto can have a big game, right? He's a guy who they can pitch well. I just don't think it's crazy to be playing Cueto. I would want to get exposure to him on this slate. I don't think he's even a bad cash game option on a two-pitcher site. One-pitcher site, I don't know if I'll go there. I think he's in the conversation, but I'm not totally in love with him.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned Gio Gonzalez here against Cincinnati. Are you going to be playing any Gio Gonzalez on the slate?
Probably not. It's tough, right? Like, I actually don't mind rostering Gio, but it gets a team like Cincinnati, man. Like, Cincinnati has been a pretty good hitting team this year. So, but like, just Gio's game logs, like, I'll just read you them. This is since May 14th, because that's a pretty big sample. 36-20, this is FanDuel, 36-20 points, 34 points, 38, 37, 46, 40, 46, 43, 49, 31. Like, that's pretty insane. He just seems like he doesn't blow you up. So I can understand playing him in your cash games, because he just seems like he's not going to blow you up. But I'm not in love with it in a matchup against the Reds. Maybe I'll get a little bit of exposure, but I'd have much more exposure to Cueto here.
Yeah. Side note, we just got an update here that Gerchuk has been placed on the 10-day DL, and they recalled up Jose Martinez. So just something to keep in mind. But yeah, so here's what's interesting. Have you seen these numbers against lefties for Cincinnati? Like, have you seen their team hitting? 424 WOBA, 325 ISO, and only a 14.6% walk, strikeout rate, 7.3% walk rate. Like, you know, they're hitting lefties really well, man.
Yeah, and they have a lot of guys who can. I mean, Cozart can smash the ball, Duvall, Suarez. You know, Votto can hit anyone. Billy Hamilton, this is not the right spot. Like, Billy Hamilton could easily get walked the first at bat because Gio could not have a good control. So, and then, you know, Cozart comes on, hits he could hit a double in the gap, and Billy Hamilton's home scores up from first, and then it's 1-0, right? That could easily happen to start out the game. I just don't want to take a risk that much with Gio today. If he fits my last spot as I'm building a team and fits it perfectly, maybe I could see doing it. But I'm not in love with it.
Yeah, the 424 WOBA against lefties, man, incredible. And the ISO almost doubles against lefties, so definitely something to and, you know, in Cincinnati, which is a hitter's park, you know, we could see some balls flying around here in this game, so definitely no interest in Gio at this price tag for me either. Now I got James Paxton. You know, James Paxton's on the slate here going against the White Sox. Now, you know, the White Sox are a team that we usually target righties against, right? Like, they're a team that strikes out a ton against righties this season. 21.1% now is that number against righties. So it's not as high as you'd think. I think they've kind of we saw some positive regression for them in the strikeout rates. But, you know, against a lefty, there's a lot of guys on this team that hit lefties well. You got, you know, Miguel Cabrera, Abreu, you know, smashes lefties. Frazier smashes lefties. Garcia smashes lefties. Davidson smashes lefties. Like, you know, it's definitely not by any means an easy spot for Paxton. But we've seen Paxton's reverse splits against righties this season, 28.2% strikeout rate against righties. But, you know, you're going to have to pay top dollar if you want Paxton. So that's the thing. Like, he's the same, you know, he's the same price here. He's the third highest priced pitcher on FanDuel, and on DraftKings, he's the third highest priced pitcher. So any interest here in Paxton, Travis?
Oh, yeah, I love Paxton here. I mean, 28.2% K percentage against righties. There'll be a bunch of righties in that lineup for the White Sox, so I love that a ton. And I get you say you have to pay top dollar for him. I mean, he's only 9.9. Like, it's not like you're paying an expensive price tag. Like, I'm not paying that 11.8K on DraftKings or 12.1 on DraftKings for Carrasco. Like, I just don't want to pay that price tag. If I have to pick, I'll probably end up going Carrasco. I think DeGrom's going to have some weather issues. I know DeGrom can have some K upside, but I don't know. I'd rather probably go up to Carrasco maybe in this spot, but I just think it's easy just to go James Paxton instead. I think it's like really simple, really easy. On FanDuel, it's more of a conversation. Do you pay 9.2 for Paxton, or do you go Carrasco for 9,500 or Jacob DeGrom for 10,900? There's more of a conversation over there, but like I love Paxton, and I think this is a great spot for him. And I think I'm definitely going to have a lot of exposure to him on this slate.
You don't have any interest in Carrasco here?
No, I do.
Do you know Oakland strikeout rate against righties this season?
Yeah, it's high. I get it.
32%.
He's super expensive, though. I don't know. I just don't know if I want to pay that price tag. Like, I'd rather just get my shares on FanDuel. Like, or let me look at Fantasy Draft real quick. Maybe I can get exposure to him there. Fantasy Draft.
He's expensive.
Carrasco is. $23,600. I get it. Like, if he fits, with like a cheap stack that I have, I'm not going to argue against it. All right, but I don't know. Like, for me, if you're telling me Carrasco or DeGrom, I'm going Carrasco. That's just what I'm going to do on this slate. But I'm not absolutely in love with it on two pitcher sites because it looks like he's super priced up. So if I could get a Carrasco Paxton team that fits for my cash game, sure, I'll do that. Like, I do have interest in him, but I don't know if I'll be able to have that.
It's not going to happen. Not at these price tags. But here's the thing, Travis. This is where like roster construction comes into play on these two pitcher sites. This is where price. You know, I wrote a whole article about this a few years ago on RotoGrinders. Like, salary consolidation is something that you should definitely be looking at when you have to pick two players at the same position like this. And you know, like, so if I go with a guy like Carrasco, I could kind of balance off that high price tag with going with a guy like Clayton Richard or going with a guy, you know, like that's cheaper. You know, like you said, you had some interest in Charlie Morton. You know, like, you could go with a guy like that, you know, you could and kind of balance it off. And, you know, the problem is we don't have a lot of cheap pitchers on the slate that are like, you know, standout-ish to where it's like, okay, I feel comfortable rostering this guy. For me, Clayton Richard's the only guy I feel comfortable rostering at the price tag below 7K on DraftKings, you know, or below 15K on Fantasy Draft. But yeah, I think that if I'm going to play Carrasco and get this massive upside, I could pair him with a guy like King Richard and get that efficiency out of it and consolidate those price tags. So I wouldn't hate doing something like that. You're not going to get a Carrasco DeGrom team. You're not going to get a Carrasco Paxton team that you feel comfortable with the bats. You know, it's just not going to happen on this slate. But
You might be able to in cash games. You might.
You think so?
I think you pull it off. Yeah, I think you can pull it off. Mm. There's going to be ways to do it, I think. But and we don't. I don't know. There's not a lot of hitting environments that I'm like absolutely in love with. I feel like I need to mash in. So I don't know. I think you could pull it off, but I don't know. I disagree that not saying like Paxton can, like, I think Paxton just as much upside as Carrasco in this spot.
Oh, wow. That's a bold statement.
He could. I mean, Paxton's a guy who when he's on, he's on. I get it. Same with Carrasco, right? But I am definitely a little concerned. Vegas is definitely concerned too about the whole, the Indians versus the A's. I mean, they're definitely down on Cleveland right now. For the reverse line movement, you know, they're not high on the Indians. Their run total's down 0.4. The A's run total is down 0.1. So I don't know, man. I'm definitely, I like Carrasco, but I'm a little worried, and I'm gonna be treading lightly.
If I told you I have a right-handed pitcher who has a 30% strikeout rate going against a team that strikes out a 32.1% rate to righties, and he gets a park upgrade being in Oakland, you're not going to be interested in him?
I've said I'm interested, Josh. I'm interested. I am interested, right? But I'm not totally, like, this is not, like, for me, it's not a smash spot like it sounds like to you.
I'm locking Carrasco in. He's
okay,
my,
like,
he's
go
my
ahead.
Top
I'm just, I think there's reasons to tread lightly, and I'm going to tread lightly. That's all. Like I said, I said to you, I think I can make Carrasco and Paxton work in my two pitcher site cash games. I think I can. And if I can, I'm going to do it. But I don't know if I definitely will be able to. I also think in tournaments, going Sonny Gray is more interesting, like for cheaper. That's all.
I like Sonny Gray. I think that he's a good option.
Yeah. I don't know. This, like, just to sum up this whole pitching slate, there's not that many great options after the All-Star break, which is really shocking. But I think, like, the best way to sum this up is there are issues with a lot of these different pitchers. And we need to talk about DeGrom a ton. If the weather's fine, I mean, DeGrom could absolutely smash the Rockies. I kind of want to talk about him for a little bit before we move on. But hang on, I'm pulling it up now, the numbers. Yeah, so against, like, right-handed pitching, DeGrom has a 31.0 K percentage against lefties, 24.6. And, you know, the Rockies can strike out a ton with the current lineup we have right now. They're at a 21.1% K percentage. I think DeGrom is, like, a guy that everyone's going to worry about the weather all day and just say, oh, they're done with him. They don't want to worry about him. But if you can fit him in his team and Ross says it's, like, a good-to-go game for pitching, I would play DeGrom in tournaments for low ownership. I think that's the way to go with it.
Yeah, if the weather holds up. You know, he does have a good matchup against Colorado. They do strike out a decent rate against righties. And as you said, you know, DeGrom always is, you know, has that strikeout upside. And he also has complete game upside, which is good, too. And I think against the Rockies, he could definitely put up a monster performance. But the weather is concerning for me, and, you know, his price tag is definitely up there. I think on FanDuel, like you said, it's more of a conversation. On DraftKings, I'd rather just go up to Carrasco for 300 more and get that clear, you know, not having to worry about weather. And he definitely has a better matchup than DeGrom going against Oakland as far as strikeouts are concerned. So, So I agree with that. I think that if the weather shows that it's cleared up and you feel like the ownership's going to be super low on a 15-game slate, you can lock DeGrom in there in some tournament lineups for sure. So why don't we do this, Travis, just to sum it up. Why don't we do your favorite top tier, by, you know, going by pricing, favorite top-tier pitcher, mid-tier pitcher, and bottom-tier pitcher?
Is Paxton considered in the mid-tier or no?
We'll make the... We'll go by, like,
I guess 9K and above.
We've got 30 pitchers, right? So what we'll do is we'll do 9K and above, and then we'll do the mid tier, and then the low tier will be anything below 7K.
Hey, Paxton's my top tier pitcher. Then my mid tier pitcher is going to be Sonny Gray, and my low tier pitcher will be Charlie Morton.
Okay, I'll go with Carrasco as my top tier. Sonny Gray is my mid tier. I'll agree with you on that, and I will go Clayton Richard as my favorite bottom tier. So that's where we're at in pitching then. Lots of options, so definitely something to look at. And, you know, like I said, that price special on Berrios, I know you're not on board with that, but I think on DraftKings and on Fantasy Draft, worth a look in tournament lineups. But, yeah, so for sure, definitely love Carrasco. Travis loves Paxton. We both agree on Sonny Gray, and you said Morton as your favorite bottom tier?
Yeah,
and I got Clayton Richard as my bottom tier. All right, so let's move on now. We've lots of pitching to cover there, so hope we gave you guys some kind of perspective on where you should be looking, where we think you should be looking. So let's move on now to the bats. Now, on our sponsor site, Fantasy Draft, you don't have to roster catchers, but what we're going to do is still go by position because we know that, you know, we've got some good feedback on that format, so we're going to continue doing that for you guys. Let's start with catcher. You know, it's going to be tough on this slate because they're, you know, we like to look for cheap options and correlate options at catcher and try to find that cheap home run. But there's some higher priced catchers here on this slate that are definitely worth a look. So let's start with catcher. Travis, kick us off here at catcher. Where are you looking?
Yeah, so there's a lot of high-priced, high-tier guys I think I have interest in. Gary Sanchez against Drew Pomerantz, I love him. I think Salvador Perez against the lefty, you have to have interest in him as well. Don't mind going to him. Buster Posey against lefty, Clayton Richard, love him. I think he's a really good price tag for 3K on FanDuel. He's a guy I'm going to have interest in. Russell Martin, if he's batting second against Verlander, he's a guy I'm gonna have a ton of interest in as well. And so, yeah, at the top tier, there's a lot of guys that I like that I think I'll be interested in. And then for the low tier, it's more so I'm just going to look for, the cheap guys in the lineup that get good lineup bumps. So it's something I'm going to kind of wait on and see what happens. So if you have any questions, if you want to ask later on in the day, just hit me up on Twitter and say, hey, is there a cheap catcher you like down here? Because I kind of have to wait and see what lineup bump we're going to get because there's not a ton that I love right now at the moment. Also, Alex Avila, if he's batting second against Aaron Sanchez. Where you can get him cheap, like on FanDuel for $2,700. I know he's more expensive on other sites, but I love that as a nice price tag.
Yeah, that's, segues me to that. He's my favorite play, Alex Avila. Obviously, if I have the cap, I'm going to have interest in Gary the Goat, but Avila just feels too cheap, across the industry here. 2.7 on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, you could get him. I believe he's under 4K over there, isn't he? Yeah, he's 3.5K, so way too cheap over there, too, for, you know, if we're going by relative salary cap. So I think I'm just going to have a ton of Avila. I might have some interest in Grandal in tournaments just because I feel like he's been high-owned this whole season and hasn't really produced big. And this is a spot where he can produce, and we might get him at low ownership on such a big slate. So some interest in Grandal there. I think, you know, Steven Vaught's batting like sixth in this lineup here for the Brewers against Pivetta. People might be scared to target bats against Pivetta because of his the big performances he's put up. But he's a guy who still could get shelled, you know what I mean? Like, he still could get hit. Like, it's not like Pivetta, you know, did something and now he's, like, going to be an all-star pitcher. He's still going to, you know, take his lumps here in the majors. So Vaught's a lefty with big upside and big power, and he's in a park, gets that park upgrade in Milwaukee. So definitely tournament interest in Vaught. But yeah, so for me, I'll probably have the most interest in. Oh, and also, we didn't mention, I don't know if you mentioned Wilson Ramos here against Ricky Nolasco. But, you know, he does get a park downgrade being in Los Angeles, but just so much pop in this guy's bat. And Nolasco gives up a ton of hard contact to righties. So Wilson Ramos, 3.1K on DraftKings just feels too cheap, you know. And on FanDuel, you could get him for a pretty decent price tag at 2.8. You know, on FanDuel, I'd rather go with Avila for 100 cheaper. But on DraftKings, definitely some interest in Ramos. So, yeah, so Avila will be my top play. And I don't mind Ramos, you know, right there behind him. Steven Vaught for tournaments, and I definitely have some interest in Gary Sanchez if I have the cap. How about you, Travis? Who's your top play at catcher?
Oh, yeah, it's probably Avila, Posey, and Gary Sanchez if I had to pick one. Those are three guys I'm going to key in on, I think, a lot, and I think they're really good plays.
All right, we'll move on to first base, super load position. You know, since we have such a full slate here, you know, there's just so many ways to go. And I think, like I said, it's going to come down to where you're targeting your bats. Now, on a slate like this, like, you can have more one-offs than usual. I mean, I still think that you have to, like, stack and correlate in certain respects. But just because there's so many games, you have so many options, I don't think it would be a bad idea to mix it up a little bit here and maybe take a few more one-offs than you normally would. I have some interest here in Freddie Freeman, who's first base eligible in DraftKings. I have some interest, you know, in him against Taijuan Walker. Since they're in SunTrust, he gets that big park boost, which is definitely something to pique interest here. You know, a lot of these other first basemen that I'm normally interested are actually in tough spots. Logan Morrison is a guy that I think is definitely someone you should have interest in against Nolasco. Again, like I said, just like Ramos, Nolasco gives up a ton of hard contact, so you want to have some interest in these raised bats. I don't mind some Eric Thames if you want to get some Milwaukee bats here in against Pivetta. Like I said, as good as Pivetta has been, Vegas really believes in these Milwaukee bats at home in this matchup. They have an implied run total, 5.35 for their run total here, team total from Vegas. So, you know, they're expected to score some runs here, and I think that they could do it. The Boer, you know, Justin Boer certainly in play. And, of course, our boy Cody Bellinger is definitely in play once again. But Miggy Cabrera, man, just seems super underpriced here on this slate. 3.3K on DraftKings. Just like for Miguel Cabrera with his upside and, you know, in a good matchup at home. You know, on FanDuel, they got his price right, 3.8. I think that you could stay away from over there and go somewhere else. But on DraftKings, for 3.3, man, it's going to be hard to pass up on Miggy for that price. So just for the profit potential of the price tag, I'm going to say Miggy is my top play at first base on DraftKings. And on over on FanDuel, my top first base option will be, who are we going to go with at first base here? We'll say Logan Morrison's my top for 3.5 on FanDuel. I think that's also a great place. And I think Cody Bellinger at 3.6. So I'd probably mix between the two of them on FanDuel. How about you, Travis? Who are your top plays?
Yeah, so on DraftKings, like Miguel Cabrera and Matt Carpenter, who's got 12 for 32 BVP with four home runs. So BVP truthers are going to be out screaming his name all day. I think they're both great options. I'm going to have a lot of interest in the two of them. Like Matt Carpenter, just like lefties against Gerrit Cole can smash him. So I think Matt Carpenter is a good play. Miguel Cabrera for 3.3 is ridiculous. Just play him on DraftKings. He's just way, way too cheap. So I will have interest in him. And if we're looking towards the top, We didn't mention Justin Smoke. He's only 3,900. I think him against Verlander is interesting. And like even Logan Morrison for 4,100 is an interesting option too. Wouldn't mind him. But mainly towards the top, like I think Freddie Freeman against Taiwan Walker, I think he's a really good play. Would have a ton of interest in him. You could slide him over at third base too if you want. And then even Paul Goldschmidt, Paul Goatschmidt, the goat against R.A. Dickey. Like, I mean, just I always like just taking good hitters against R.A. Dickey. It normally results in really good results. So I will definitely look to roster him too towards the top. If I had to pick guys towards the top, and even like an Anthony Rizzo against a Gausman, some of those lefties I'd have some interest in against Gausman. So I think he's not a terrible option. Over on FanDuel, I think I'll have some interest in like Eric Thames. He's a guy that I'll consider too for that price tag. Don't mind him. There. And if Sam Travis, if he's, you know, he's only 2,100 on FanDuel, if he's batting in a nice spot against a lefty and Jordan Montgomery, I could see going him for cheap, but I don't think you need to pay down on this slate, but it's just an idea if you're looking to pay all the way down. But yeah, I think for me, those are kind of all the first basemen I have interest in.
All right, let's move on to second base. Travis, just like, I'll let you kick us off, but before you do, just a quick side note, DraftKings is just like really gave us like super cheap price tags here on. Like, as I'm going now and I'm looking at this, these Detroit bats are just way too cheap, man. Like, you get a really cheap stack of these Detroit bats on DraftKings. It feels like there's a lot of profit potential. Like, you know, second base now, like, Kinsler's 3.1K on DraftKings. Like, wait.
Yeah, so this is why you can play Paxton and Carrasco, Josh. It's very not, it's not that hard. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, but why is Kinsler, like, Kinsler should not be 3.1K. Miggy should not be 3.3K. You
know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of good second basemen too for like way too cheap. Like we have Jonathan VR for 3,600, right? That's a ridiculous price tag. We have, I just saw another one popped out to me. Where was he? Even Brandon Drury for 3,600, I think he's an interesting tournament option. He's been smashing righties this year. Ben Zobrist, who's a lefty, for 3,600. Like, he's like, there's guys you can play here. So even Robbie Cano, he's only 4,200 against James Shields. Like, there's guys you can play here.
It's so, like, it's like second base coupon day, Travis. There's what's going on.
Yeah, they're all really cheap. And like, even on FanDuel too, you have VR for 3,000. You have Whit Merrifield for 3,100. You have Robinson Cano for only 3,200 on FanDuel. Like, I mean, they're just way too cheap. So I don't know, for me, like, that's kind of all the second baseman I'm interested in. I'm probably just gonna save here and take advantage of this price saving and do that. There's just so many good options here to play.
Yeah, for sure. You know, VR is also 3,000 on FanDuel, and so is Kinsler. So I mean, I think that, you know, with these price differences and you know, cap relevance, like, my DraftKings lineups would look way different than my FanDuel lineups on the slate, you know, just because of the price differences. But I think I'll go with, like, Kinsler and VR as my top two at second base, just because of the price savings.
Yeah, my top is Robbie Cano, like, even on DraftKings, FanDuel too. Like, I just think this is a good spot for him to home run. I like him a lot today. I mean, I just think this is a good position to buy low on, like, where you can find him. Like, Kinsler, buy low on him over there. You know, you could buy low on VR on FanDuel. Just find the right price tag that fits with a lot of these different guys. And don't sleep on Whit Merrifield, man. Him against a lefty. In that, that's in Texas, right? That game is in Texas?
Yeah, it's in Texas.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was just making sure. For some reason, I blanked there for a second. But yeah, so in Texas, like, don't sleep on Whit Merrifield. He'll probably be batting first.
Oh, wait, no, it's in Kansas City, not in Texas.
Oh, it is? Crud. Sorry. Well, I mean, I don't still think it matters because it's Martin Perez. That definitely lowers my interest a little bit. But again, like, Robbie Cano is my top option, though, at second base, no matter what. Mainly on FanDuel, too. Like, $3,200, just a crazy price tag. But yeah, let's head over to third. I can kick us off, Josh, because we have another Mariner that's way too underpriced over on FanDuel. Again, I talked about how I like Freddie Freeman. I think he's a great option. I also think even Manny Machado, a guy who has just positive regression coming his way. I like those two guys. I think they're really good plays on this slate. If you have the money for them, go for it. But Seager. Kyle Seager is 2,500 on FanDuel.
He's 3.3 on DraftKings. He's free.
Yeah, he's 3.3 on DraftKings. Like, he's the cash play against James Shields. James Shields is allowing a home run rate of like four home run per nine of four on the year. Like, he's just getting smashed. And then we also have guys like Travis Shaw and Jake Lamb. Those are guys that can smash out home runs. I like them a ton too. So those are kind of like the five I really like. And I think I'm just going to mix and match them throughout my tournaments. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
God, how about you? Why is Kyle Seager free? And they, like, they mess up his price all the time. So, like, I'm not even that surprised. But, like, man, like, I got right now, like, just, like, you know, messing around on DraftKings. Like, I'm putting together a lineup. I've got Avila, Miggy, Kinsler, and Seager. and not one of those guys is over 3,500. And the most expensive guy there is Alex Avila, out of him, Cabrera, Kinsler, and Seager. Like, that's crazy to me. But
yeah, and putting Carlos Carrasco and James Paxton, and then you have a shortstop and three outfielders to pick for with 3,700 left per position, which is very doable. We won't fill it out the rest of the way because that's not allowed. So let's not say any more. But it's a very easy, very easy slate to be able to pull off the double pitcher pay up, and we don't love a lot of bats today. I feel like there's not stacks or itch in the play, so I think it's definitely very viable in your cash games. In tournaments, it's probably tougher. Obviously, you can stack up that Tigers team, but they could be super chalky, so who knows.
I hate this pricing, man. It's just too easy to do stuff right now.
Well, then go play at Fantasy Draft. You can fix that very easily. Go play over there. You don't have to play shortstops or second baseman or catchers. Just go over there and play easily. But so what about third? Anyone else you like besides the guys I said, Josh?
I think Martin Prado, if he's in the lineup at six, he's 2.9 on DraftKings, just super cheap, and he's got some upside. So I think that he's a guy that you could look at. And on FanDuel, he's 2.8, probably less interest over there. But for 2.9 on DraftKings, just good price play there. I think there's good. I think he's a guy that you'll get at a very, very low ownership on such a big slate, and he has double dong upside on a good day. So. Definitely interested in some Prado there, but man, it's gonna be hard to get past the Seager price across the industry. I feel like I'm just gonna have to take the free square and move on. So most of my interest is gonna be there. I don't mind Jake Lamb, as you mentioned. I think Jake Lamb is also in a good spot, and I wouldn't mind some Evan Longoria here either. I mean, it's Nolasco. It gives up a ton of hard contact. I understand the park downgrade, and we usually just pick Longo against lefties, but he's super cheap on DraftKings at 3.6 and 3.1 on FanDuel. So he has massive upside with the power. There's a lot of pop in his bat, so definitely some interest in Longo in tournaments. But I think because of this pricing error, you're just going to have to take the free square with Kyle Seager and move on. So that's where I'm at third base. You want to move on to shortstop?
Yeah, let's head over to short. So I would love Gene Segura, whatever his name is, Segura. I would love to play him, fit him in my Mariner stacks. People might not pay up at short for him, so I like doing that. I think that's an interesting route to go. I like Zach Cozart, too, against the lefty. Zach Cozart's just been smashing lefties this year. So I've been on board with him a lot recently, and I'm going to keep going with him. I think he's a really good option to play. For cheap, that's really the debate. There's not a lot of cheap shortstops I'm absolutely in love with today. I don't know, Josh, do you have any that you like? Because there's none sticking off the page. I think it's going to be one of those slates where I kind of wait and see what the lineup spots are. Like maybe an Addison Russell on DraftKings for 3-3 might be able to help me out with that. But there's not a lot to love at shortstop for cheap. I just figured I'd ask you, you have any cheap guys you like, or is this more of a pay-up spot for you?
I'm having the same issue you are here at short. I mean, I feel like we just kind of ran into a wall after having all these cheap options. But this Paul DeJong kid, man, was just super hot going into the break. And he's only 2.6 on DraftKings. And I know he bats at the bottom of the order. He's going against Gerrit Cole and all that. But we've seen Gerrit Cole give up some, absolute blow up spots. And I know, this might not be one of the spots that he necessarily does, but if you're looking for a really super cheap, you want to go double expensive pitcher, like we were saying, I think for 2.6, DeJong has a ton of upside, and definitely a guy that you could have interested on DraftKings and on Fantasy Draft. Over on FanDuel, let's see what his price is over there. 3K, less interest over there, but when someone's cheaper on DraftKings than they are on FanDuel, with the price cap relevance, it really means a lot. That means that he's definitely either FanDuel has him way overpriced or DraftKings has him super underpriced. I think in this case, they just kind of have him super underpriced. They didn't adjust to his performances before the All-Star break. So that might be a nice spot to get, some DeJong in there at a super low ownership. But other than that, yeah, it definitely does feel like a pay-up spot. Like Segura, as you said, is definitely someone I'd be interested in. I want to like Lindor, but I don't like the matchup against Sonny Gray, so I'm going to pass there. It's weird. Kyle Seager is probably going to be the top option here. Corey Seager, I'm sorry, not Kyle. You can load up the Seager brothers, I think, on this slate. I'll probably have a lot of Corey Seager. I think that's just the safe play there. And if I'm looking for someone super cheap, like I said, I don't mind throwing in some DeJong into the lineup. So So that's where I'm at. Corey Seager is my top shortstop, and DeJong is my top value shortstop. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't love shortstop. Like, I think the last guy I want to mention, like, I talked about some guys that I like. I think the Cozarts and Seager are good plays. I also think Xander Bogaerts is a decent play for 3,300. But it's going to be a spot where I look for lineups to come out and see if there's anything that pops off the page that's cheap that I can pay down if I want to. But there's a lot of cheap price tags that we've already paid down for, so I think I'm able to pay up here. So either Seager, Cozart, or Bogaerts are all guys I'm going to have some interest in.
All right. Very good. Let's move on to the, you know, let's have some fun now. We got the outfield, and outfield is a spot where you really like, you know, I usually pick my outfielders last, you know, when I'm building my lineups, because what I do is I use having the benefit of having three open spots here to correlate to the rest of my roster construction and try to figure out where I want to connect my lineup here and kind of just finish it off. It's like the finishing touches on the painting now. They're very important, you know, to finalize your lineup here and to really put together, paint the picture that you want to paint, you know? So, for me, there's a lot of spots you could go. I think that you'll get Judge underpriced on the slate. I also think Clint Frazier is a guy that with his price tag jumped up now that people will stay away. So I think that you could get him at a nice low ownership. I wouldn't mind some you know, Judge and Clint Frazier correlation. Not my top options, but definitely certainly options here. On DraftKings, Bellinger is outfield eligible. So if you want to connect him to, like, Corey Seager, you could definitely do so on the slate. Now, they got DraftKings got the outfielder pricing right for Detroit, you know, as at least more right than they had for the rest of the guys. So Upton's 4.2 and JD is 3.9. So I think
3.9 for JD is too cheap, man.
Insane. Yeah, I was just gonna say JDM at under 4K. I think that he should actually be more expensive than Upton, you know. But
yeah, that's crazy.
But on, but on the flip side of that matchup, Travis, you got Jose Bautista at 3.5, and that feels way too cheap here against Verlander. I think that you could buy low on Bautista here. I think you could even take him as a one-off in this matchup against Verlander. I think that he's a fine play. David Peralta. Certainly another good play here, 4.2 on DraftKings, and I believe FanDuel had him over underpriced last time I looked at Peralta. Yeah, he's 3K on FanDuel, so I think that you should definitely take advantage of his price tag over there on FanDuel. Yeah, so that's, like, you know, not the extent of where I'm going, but I think that I really want to focus. Oh, and Gamel, too, obviously in play here against James Shields, and Nelson Cruz. Usually a guy gets overlooked on big slates when he's not facing a lefty, so I don't think he'll be that chalky, and I think you get him at low ownership, and he has huge pop in his bat. Definitely lots of upside there. Chu and Mazzara, I think, are guys you could be looking at. Not as much interest in Carlos Gomez here, even though I think there's certainly merit there. So, yeah, it just for me. Oh, and Dickerson is underpriced on DraftKings, by the way, 3.5K. I think Malik Smith is overpriced there on DraftKings at 4K. Corey Dickerson, 3.5K, is super underpriced. I think that you could take Dickerson as a one-off at this price tag on DraftKings at 3.5K. So I like Dickerson as a one-off. I like I also like Jose Bautista as a one-off. I think JDM and Upton are definitely in play to correlate. And like I said, I like Judge and Frazier to correlate too. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at in outfield right now. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, I just noticed Mike Trout is back today. It looks like, oh, this has me excited. I might have to play an Angel stack just because. I know. Oh, man, that has me super excited. I had a feeling he was coming back, but I didn't know it was official yet. So that got me super excited. But
oh, man, 4.5 on DraftKings, too, for Trout.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take Mike Trout for 4.5. Like, that's just crazy. But yeah, he's a lot more on FanDuel. But again, I might just play an Angel stack just because just excited to see him back in the lineup. So I might do that. And on DraftKings for 4.5, that's crazy of a crazy price tag for him. I would definitely buy low on that, even against a matchup against Farr that we said we liked. But I'm still okay with that. I might even, with Trout being back, that might even take Faria down a tick for me. So just wanted to note that. But Bryce Harper, love him today. I think he's a really good play. Like Nelson Cruz, of course, $3,700 on FanDuel is a ridiculous price tag. I would definitely have interest in him. Even Mookie Betts, like, he's only $3,900. That's a great price tag too. I like Kyle Schwarber. I think he's got a cheap tag. Like FanDuel specifically, $2,300. Like, that's just really cheap. If he gets a good spot in the lineup, I would have interest in him. AJ Pollock, $3,400. I like that price tag too for him. That's way too cheap. But David Peralta, he's a guy, you know, he can smash right-handed pitching. He's only $3,000. So, you know, have to have a ton of interest in him too in that spot. Sinchu Chu, if he's batting first against Jason Hamill, he'll likely get five at bats as a road team. I think he's a good option to consider. And I agree with your JD Martinez take on DraftKings. It makes a ton of sense to play him over there. We definitely have interest in him. Like a lot of these Texas bats too, like a Mazzara against Hamill, I think you should have interest in him as well. He's a good guy to consider. And like a Steven Souza, he's an interesting one-off you can go against. Rick and Alaska can easily have a 2-home-run game. I think he's a guy to consider too. There's a lot of outfielders to like as usual though. So I'm normally going to take the approach of whatever fits best in the stack. Oh yeah, and Brian Goodwin, if you're looking for cheap guys. Like I think Brian Goodwin's a guy that he'll be batting first. He's 3K. It's a little priced up for him on FanDuel, but I still think he's a guy to have some interest in. But there's a lot of guys to like for cheap around this price tag of like the 3K range. So I would definitely not sleep on a lot of these bats. Even in Dexter Fowler against a Gerrit Cole, something we didn't mention about Gerrit Cole is really bad at holding on runners. And if Dexter Fowler gets on, he will definitely steal. So don't mind targeting stolen base guys against a Gerrit Cole. So yeah, it's a loaded position though, the outfield as usual. Be aware that just like buying low and cheap price tags, I don't think you have to pay up for certain guys, but there's some good guys to pay up for. But that's about it for me, Josh. Tons of outfielders to like, and just make sure to kind of make it fit your construction well.
Yeah, I agree. It's just going to come down to roster construction. So I guess I have to retract my statement at the beginning of the podcast about not being able to double pay up for pitcher because, man, there's just so many underpriced options on the slate. So I think that this is a spot where you just got to build a core of guys you think are underpriced, try to buy low on them, and then you could just, you know, mix and match your favorite pitchers here and just kind of, you know, like you're not going to be constrained here on building lineups. You should be able to comfortably build, you know, your build should be comfortable here on the guys that you want to get in. So anyone else here you want to mention in the outfield before we hop into the stack of the day?
No, yeah, let's head over to the stack of the day. I can kick us off if you want, Josh. I got mine ready to go.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I haven't talked about the bats enough, and I kind of realized it as doing the pod. I was like, you know, like it's one of those teams I kind of slept on a little bit, and I shouldn't be. And that's the Washington Nationals. I mean, I think it's a great spot for them against a guy like Tim Adelman. You know, he was the first pitcher you mentioned, Josh, and we instantly said no. And I was like, I mean, I instantly said no for good reason, right? Against lefties, you know, the K percentage is very low. The ISO is 0.259. He's a guy that just, you know, could get absolutely smashed by some of these lefties. Like Brian Goodwin, if he gets on base, that could be great for him. And then Bryce Harper can easily hit him in. So you get a cheap guy like Goodwin. You can get Bryce Harper who can hit it out of the park easily. Daniel Murphy who smashes the ball. And even like a Zimmerman and Rendon, pairing them up there too. Those are interesting guys. And hey, if you need to save some salary in your lineups, we got Stephen Drew, who's a guy you can always save on too. If he's in the lineup, he's interesting. And if you want to throw a catcher in there, I never mind Matt Wieters for power. So there's tons of guys up and down this lineup that you can play. They have a 5.36 implied run total. This is just a team that, you know, we didn't mention a lot during the podcast, and I just want to make sure that, you know, I made them my stack of the day. They're a team that I, you know, one of those teams that I kind of feel like I could be kicking myself at the end of the day that I didn't look at more, and I think I'm going to dig deeper on them and see how much better the matchup is as the slate goes on. But I have a ton of interest in them, and I'm definitely going to have at least one stack of them, and probably throughout the day I'll be making more and more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually just looked at that too as we were looking at the slate here for the stack of the day. The Nationals are definitely in an incredible spot, and I guess we got so caught up. You know what it is, Travis? I think we got so caught up in the, you know, the pricing decreases on a lot of these guys that, you know, we're not getting huge discounts on any of these Nationals bats. So that's, I think, why we ended up not talking about their bats too much. But because of that, I think that makes them an excellent tournament stack because people are not going to want to pay top dollar, including myself. You know, it's going to be tough to pay top dollar for guys or you know, fair market value for guys that are, you know, on a slate when there's guys that are so underpriced. So definitely think that you get a little bit of an edge by getting that Washington offense into your lives as a stack because, you know, a lot of, I think the field is going to want to pay up for pitcher on the slate because there's not a lot of cheap options. So they're going to get handcuffed into playing these cheap guys. And I don't think it's the wrong move, but I think that you definitely get an edge by stacking the Nationals on the slate. For me, my stack of the day here, some guys that we mentioned from this lineup, I think that the Mariners are going to be my stack of the day here. I think that going against James Shields, who is kind of a shell of what he once was, I don't think that he's going to come out and throw a gem. I don't think we're going to see some vintage James Shields here. I think that it's a park downgrade, and I think that he is who he is now. He's a bad pitcher we could pick on, so why not pick on him with some of these Seattle bats, you know, especially with this healthy Seattle lineup. You know, I think Segura, Gamel, Cano, Cruz, Seager, Valencia, you know, Mitch Haniger has been hitting the ball well. Like, all these guys are in play, you know what I mean? They all have upside, and I think that it's a good spot to stack the Mariners on this slate. So Mariners will be my stack of the day. So there you go. We covered the slate, Travis. Anything else you want to mention before we sign out?
No, yeah, man. Washington, they're also – I also misread this. They're in Cincinnati. This is insane. I'm going heavy on them. I don't know why. I read it wrong. I thought they were in that – I guess I read it wrong when I was looking at the weather for some reason. Sometimes, you know, your mind messes with you. First day back gets a little rusty. But, man, that game is in Great American Ballpark. Like, dude, load up on the Nationals, man. This is just – oh, this is a dream spot for them. Wind's blowing out 9 miles an hour, too. Man, I can't wait to play the Nationals. They are. I'm fired up about them today. I might go all in on them. I'm hoping not everyone goes heavy on them. But man, that's crazy. I forgot it was in Great American Small Park, and they call it that for a reason. So, but also agree with you on the Seattle stack. It's like the chalk of the day because of the price tag. So at least on FanDuel for sure. But DraftKings, maybe the tires end up being, not sure. But it's a fun slate. There's a lot to like now. And, man, I got more excited about this slate. I don't know how I misread that. Just must be rusty from the grind or something. You know, not doing it every day. But, man, that's awesome. They're in that ballpark.
Yeah, Natty's in Cincy. That's the way to go. Before we sign out, give us both a follow on Twitter. My handle is @RealJoshuaGiant, @RealJoshuaGiant. You can follow Travis @TravisMangone. MANGONE. You can follow both of us. Shoot over any questions, any comments. You know, we're always here to interact with you guys. We love doing so, especially on a big slate like this. If you're stuck between some decisions, we'd love to give you our opinion or our advice. That's what we're here to help with. Check out all the other content at RotoGrinders too. Lots of great analysts on staff here. And following Travis, you get a little bump if you want to try some WNBA. He's always posting great information there too. So definitely keep an eye out for that. And if you haven't already, sign up for our sponsor site, Fantasy Draft, fantasydraft.com. Use the promo code Grinders when you sign up. You'll get up to 4% cash back on up to $5,000 in entries. Plus, you'll get 3 months of premium content at Roto Grinders. Gives you an edge on the field, helps you build better lineups, and helps you to kind of you know, get used to the format over there by reading some of the expert advice that we have here to offer at Roto Grinders. But yeah, so here we are. We're back from the All-Star break. It's going to be a fun Friday of baseball, and I'm excited to see it. We're happy we got to fill in for Dan Bach for you guys. We're very happy you enjoyed the shows. Love the feedback you guys gave us on Twitter. And guess what? We'll be back tomorrow morning because it's going to be the weekend, and we got the weekend grind. So we'll see you guys tomorrow morning for the weekend grind. Hope you do well today. We'll see you on Twitter. Peace out, Grinders.